Atika, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
We made it back. We made it back for another week.
We did, yes.
I would say, I don't know. I almost said it's the most wonderful time of the NBA season, but it's not, maybe not the most wonderful time, but it is one of the most exciting times.
It's nerve-wracking, especially if your team is one game away from getting eliminated.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that I don't do well with these sudden death situations. So I think a lot of people don't. Although, I mean, a part of me is like, okay, you know what? Just play the game and full disclosure, I live in Toronto, so I'm a Raptors fan first and foremost.
Yeah.
Even though I'm wearing an old school, you can't see it right now, but I'm wearing an old school. Oh my God, I can't even believe I'm calling it old school, but an old school Minnesota Wiggins t-shirt right now. But but yeah.
You are just Canada to the core. You are like, you rock all things Canadian basketball.
I think so. I think when I think about like the kind of the teams that I'm like, I'm rooting for the Celtics too, because I love the Celtics. I think I mentioned this last podcast, like Lillard's my favorite player. So I would love to kind of, I would have loved to see him kind of get through. And unfortunately, we won't be seeing him this postseason.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm rooting for Shea. Not
Oh,
only is
yeah.
he like a phenomenal young player in the league, but he's also Canadian. So yes, of course, rooting for him.
I guess maybe it's appropriate, obviously, Shea and the Thunder are in the plan. That maybe before we get into the plan, maybe we should, maybe say our goodbyes to some of the most interesting teams that are not in the playoffs. You mentioned one of them in your the Portland Trailblazers. Any thoughts on Dame? Dame had some things to say about the future of the Blazers.
So I think he's not holding back, but he's also being careful with his words as well, I find.
Yeah.
But I think that with a lot of these players, and like we heard from Luka as well, and we know what's happening with the Mavs, I think a lot of these decisions are beyond the player's control. So I'm going to go on a limb and say the Blazers tanking, or I don't know what they did. I would call it just gave up or just
Yeah.
decided to die while they still had an opportunity to make the plan was very strange to me. But I think he's just given up. Like this, we talked about this last time. Lillard is one of those quintessential loyal players. He's the franchise guy, your city guy through and through. And I think he's probably just had enough. And so it's disappointing. He's one of the greatest players in the league. One of the best offensive players. Obviously, just great all-around player. And to not see a player like him in the postseason, like even in the play-in, is disappointing. So yeah, not sure what more to say about that. But and speaking of players not having control, Luka said something very interesting that he wanted to do everything he could to make it into the postseason. So and then I don't know if you heard some of the interviews with Cuban, with Mark Cuban, but
Jason Kidd.
Yeah, he's just, yeah.
I think I've been critical of Jason Kidd
Yeah.
and maybe thinking that maybe he's not the right fit, and maybe he's not. But for him to have his team gutted, finally got the team playing the way he needed them to play. They gut the team. They bring in Kyrie, and I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are. I mean, I'd love your thoughts as a Celtics fan. your thoughts on the Kyrie experiment, but I don't know if this is all on Kyrie. I mean, I just feel like that was just a bad decision all the way around.
Kyrie did what he was supposed to do. Unfortunately, they traded away a lot of future bargaining chips. So yes, they traded away their first round 2029 pick. And yes, that's far off, but it's also something you can use to leverage potential future trades. So that's kind of off the table. I think Kyrie came in and did what he was supposed to do. They just unfortunately gave away their best perimeter defensive player. So I think that, you know, all those things, you know, they matter. And we've seen time and time again, and, you know, we don't have to go over all the teams that have done this, but, you know, bringing in multiple two or three superstar players come together, and there just isn't that synergy. And maybe there isn't, maybe it's not even amongst like how they're playing with each other, but in the process of bringing those guys together, something's got to give, right? Like you're giving away pieces, role players, difference makers. And so I think that's kind of just what happened with the Mavs. And again, Luka's another one I feel really awful for, because he is such a tremendous talent. And I think that, you know, he did give it his all. There needs to be an investigation for sure in terms of what exactly went down.
I feel like there needs to be an investigation. But I also feel like if they're going to investigate the Mavs for what they've done, can they also then do an investigation of teams who were trying, especially in the West, doing everything they could to get that sixth seed so they could go against the Kings? Like all of it. Like, the Kings are being so, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't feel like a team has been more disrespected as a three seed as the Sacramento Kings.
I don't get it. I think this wasn't just some fluke that they, you know, they didn't get into the playoffs by fluke. They have great players. I think Darian Fox is like a tremendous talent. Like this guy hasn't even peaked. I think they have such great players. They have great chemistry, a great coach. So I'm actually surprised. I think it's maybe the disrespect comes from the lack of playoff experience. And so I think it's probably more that than, you know, disrespecting like the actual players or the coaching.
They've got Sabonis. They have, is it Halliburton? They have,
they have
Fox. I mean, apparently they just don't defend, but you know, they can score like nobody's business. And they against Golden State. I mean, it is interesting though, to see how Mike Brown turned that team around so quickly.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I mean, Golden State really struggled on the road this year. And there's a part of me that's like, all right, so Steve Kerr, great coach. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a coach because of, you know, what they've done at Golden State. I do wonder, though, there were a couple of stints where Steve Kerr wasn't around and they played just fine. I'm just saying that maybe Mike Brown had as much to do with the success of the Golden State Warriors as Steve Kerr. I'm just putting that out.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And so, you know, I obviously don't have privy to the coaches or get to speak to them or the coaching staff or the players. However, you know, just as even a viewer, when I'm watching games and, you know, I've watched enough Golden State games, whether they're playing Toronto or another team, sometimes it's difficult for me to watch the West Coast games just because of the time difference. But I've watched enough to know that maybe it's just Steve Kerr being Steve Kerr, and maybe he's just one of those coaches that's more calm, but he doesn't seem as involved in the game. It's kind of like he's just sitting there and he's watching it play out.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just speculating, but I feel like there's a lot less coaching happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you have some of the greatest shooters, players of all time, like players of all
I
time.
mean, yeah. I mean, well, all right, I was gonna say if you hand somebody, Curry and Clay, and then you've got Draymond, who's the glue.
Right.
He won, like when Iguodala was in his prime, well, not in his prime, but he still had juice left in the tank.
That year he got MVP, playoff
I
MVP,
mean,
or finals MVP. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, so I mean, for those of you all who are watching, I'm always like, it's a conspiracy. Why can't, black coaches get the same run as white coaches? But I'm like, if Mark Jackson had been the coach for another 2 years, might he have also won a championship? But yeah, I other yeah. So I'm like now, see, why am I playing the race car? But I'm that person. I'm like, why can't he get the chance? But to see Mike Brown having the success he has now, I'm loving it. But I'm disappointed with Dallas because of Jason Kidd and not getting an opportunity to run it back to try to get back to the
Yeah.
conference finals. And
Well,
I'm,
he's being used as a scapegoat, so
yeah. And then I look at, I feel for Chauncey Billups. I mean, because clearly the Trailblazers are tanking. And I'm just like, this is just kind of a mad precedent. But enough about the teams that aren't here.
But I do have to say
Okay.
that I think that the tanking situation does need to be addressed
Oh, yeah.
because it is taking away from the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
It's wild to me that teams are blatantly trying to lose games or like not win enough or sit out players for no reason,
Right.
just to get better picks. That's essentially what it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And especially because, and we mentioned this as of last week when we recorded the first podcast, 26 teams were still in contention, and
Yeah.
the Blazers were one of those teams. The Mavs were one of those teams, and so I think that it just everyone's just trying to get better draft picks. So I think that needs to be investigated, and there needs to be some policies around that because, as a fan, I'm less entitled to be invested in watching when you,
Yeah.
and I'm just lucky that I don't, my team's not doing that. But I just feel for the fans in Portland and Dallas, who have to endure that.
Yeah, it's not right. And I feel like that part of what the league needs to do, and I'm sure the full details of the co collective bargaining agreement are going to come out, so we won't see it in it, but there should be some sort of penalty from a playoff perspective. Like in the last, like if you are at a certain date within playoff contention and you are, and there are healthy scratches from your lineup, especially if they're starters, then, there needs to be some sort of way where it's like if you do make the playoffs, you lose a home game. Like if it's a
Yeah.
7-game series, instead of it being a 4-3, maybe it's a 5-2.
Yeah.
Like,
There has to be something. There has to be motivation for getting into the playoffs.
I mean, you've got teams who are like actively, so yeah, Dallas actively trying not to make it so they wouldn't lose their draft pick. You've got other teams who are actively trying to lose instead of trying to get a higher seed, trying to lose so they can get a more favorable matchup. And to me, as a fan, you can't have that. Like, you can't have people showing up thinking they're going to see their favorite player, right? Oh, they're not playing tonight. They're not injured. They're just not playing. You can't, and just for the integrity, especially with sports betting. See, that's the other thing too, Atika.
Yeah, that's the
With
other factor.
sports betting, we cannot have teams tanking.
Right.
You can't have, because people are placing bets on the game, assuming like, oh, I'm betting that LeBron is going to hit, 25 points and have seven boards. Oh, he didn't play tonight. Well, you lost that bet. It's done. Like, you lost. And so you can't, there's a certain, not that betting, I'm talking about the integrity of the game as if, oh, betting. But something's got to be done. I don't like it. And I don't like it for Dame. I don't like it for Luka or Kyrie.
Yeah.
For the stars of the game that we don't get to see in the postseason because they were tanking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a question. I don't think we talked about this, and I remember hearing about this, but I didn't actually look into it. Did the new CBA also include concessions for players to now also be able to bet on games? Did I, or am I
Something
making
like
that
that.
up?
Well, there's something like that, or they can at least advertise. I think they can advertise
Okay.
the sports
Yeah.
book,
Okay.
but that's a bad idea, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, encourage. Because they might be like, okay, well, we're not going to really go far in the playoffs anyways. Might as well tank and control kind of the outcome of the game. It's dangerous. So I hope it's not that, but I'll look into it in a little bit more
Yeah, I mean
detail.
that's, yeah, I this the whole idea of advertising for sports books, just it's a bad look, and it's a slippery slope.
It's a bad look. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think the league has an issue, an integrity issue, and I don't think, I almost feel like, now one of the things the league could do, and people are going by, are you guys going to talk about the plan? We're going to talk about the plan in a second. But I think here's an idea that I have, Atika. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Is there a way for there, just like there's surge pricing, like if LeBron and KD are playing each other, the tickets for that game are going to be higher than they normally are. Or if the Celtics are playing the Sixers, those tickets are going to be higher, or the Bucks. Those are going to be higher than if they're playing the Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic.
Right.
Why can't there be a reverse? So, like, if you bought a ticket to see, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going up against Joel Embiid and James Harden, and the Sixers decide to sit, Joel, that maybe you get a little bit of a discount.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to, if it's going to work one way where they sell you the ticket because of the matchups, it should work the other way too, where if you bought a ticket and the stars that you paid to see aren't playing, you should get a refund, unless they're injured. Now, if they're injured, that's something else. But the league needs to say, look, if you're not on the injured list, you got to play. And if you're on,
Absolutely.
the injured list, then that's what they need to do. So, like, if you're on the injured list, okay, it's a minimum of 3 games. You got to be on the injured list. And
Well,
if you aren't injured, you play.
oh, absolutely. And even for those that play fantasy, like I play in a number of different fantasy leagues and we play for money. And it's so frustrating to have players sitting out. And literally, you find out 2 minutes before tip off,
Right.
and you're scrambling to move them, to change your lineup. But also, then they don't play the next. Like, if you're not going to play because you're injured, then you should be on the IR.
Right.
And to your point about the surge pricing, absolutely, because you're not paying surge pricing for the Celtics because. Just because they're the Celtics,
Right.
you're playing because, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are going to be there,
Right.
right? And
100%.
if two of their best players are not there, then why are you paying $300 a ticket in
Right.
Toronto
That's right.
to watch them play,
I
right?
mean, because like TNT and ESPN, they aren't selling the Celtics versus, the Lakers. They're selling Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, They may, and, you know, and the subs, you know, and they're selling, you know, LeBron, Anthony Davis, the trailer are selling. So like, they can't on one hand say, no, you bought the ticket to see the team. I'm like, but you're not selling the team. The NBA hasn't sold us teams in over 35 years.
The whole teams thing, like being loyal to a team, that was back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Now you're like, it's hard to be a fan of a team. Like I've been a loyal Celtics fan, but there were times where I'm like, am I really a Celtics fan anymore?
So
I'm
yeah, I
not
mean, I rooted for the Celtics until Paul Pierce left. And when Paul Pierce left, all of a sudden I was cheering for the Nets. And then I even found myself cheering for the Clippers when he wound up with the Clippers, which is why I still have a problem with Draymond Green, because I feel like Draymond completely disrespected Paul Pierce. He's like, hey, they don't love you like Kobe. And I'm like, who is loved like Kobe?
Trying to be Kobe. But okay, we need to talk about Paul Pierce in a different
He
episode
almost needs his
because
own episode.
he needs his own episode. I am a true Paul Pierce fan. I love him. I get a lot of slack for that from Celtics non-Celt like Lakers fans, non-Lakers fans alike. So yeah, I feel like we need to delve deeper into this situation. There's so many I can talk about this for an hour. So we need
All I will say, and I'll leave the Paul Pierce thing alone. All I can say to Draymond and any other Paul Pierce hater out there, I'm like, how about you try and go get stabbed 11 times and then come back next year and have, you know, an all-star season and then ultimately, you know, lead your team to, you know, NBA. I mean, yeah, his career, he almost died.
almost
And
died.
so I'm like, okay, you do that. And then you can talk trash on Paul Pierce.
Side note, condolences to Paul Pierce. He just lost his mother.
Oh.
So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
But yes, he's one of my favorite players of all time, and
Yeah.
I find myself getting very defensive when
Oh, you and me both.
on him.
I mean, the truth shall set you free. And one of the things I love about him is one of the things I'm sure people find annoying about him is his pure hatred for LeBron. He can't give LeBron credit for anything. He's worse than Skip Bayless.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah. Shout out to the truth. Rest in peace. Rest in power. Miss Pierce. Wow. So we've made it to the Michael Jordan minute. We're in the 23rd minute. And we're in the play-in right now. The first play-in game is actually happening while we're recording. We've got two of your favorite teams, Atlanta and Miami.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this before the pod, but yeah, not a game that I was excited about. So the fact that it's happening while we're doing this, while we're recording this podcast, I'm not sad about it. Let's just put it that way.
You know, Atlanta before, I mean, so I hadn't really watched Atlanta like the period. There was a whole, I don't know, 25, 30 years between Dominique and Trae Young. But it was about that amount of time that I never watched any Atlanta games at all.
No, it wasn't until like 5, 6 years ago. I think I watched when Carter, Vince Carter, was on just for nostalgic reasons, him being one of the greatest Raptors of all time. So maybe for that reason alone, but oh, couldn't really.
How many teams did Vince Carter play for? I mean, I feel like he played for a lot of teams.
Oh,
I mean, was it double digits? Did he play for 10 teams?
I don't think so, did he? Oh, you know what? Maybe because they did a I remember it was an Instagram post and they had like him in different uniforms. So I know he's obviously paid for the Raptors. I think that was kind of the shining moment in his career. So he's played for the Hawks. He played
Okay.
for the Grizzlies. Oh, how could I forget
Yes. Yes, he
that?
did.
I
He played
actually
for the
went to the
Grizzlies.
game in I actually
All right,
went
I'm
to
going to see if
Memphis
you
to
can
watch.
name. It wasn't 10, but
No, it
yeah.
wasn't 10, but it was quite a few.
So
It was at least eight.
you've named three of his teams. Oh, you named Toronto.
I'm
You've named
missing. Oh,
you've named four
the Nets.
teams.
The Nets, where he went after Toronto. The
Yes, he went to the
Nets.
Nets. Yep.
So Toronto, the Nets, Grizzlies, Hawks. So that's four.
Yep.
Which one am I missing?
You're missing.
Dallas. And I couldn't tell you the other
Yes,
ones.
Dallas. Yep. Yeah.
I can't tell you the other ones. That's it. If there was more, if there is
Well,
more, I.
you said Orlando, right?
No, I didn't say Orlando. I missed that one.
Orlando and Phoenix. I'd forgotten
Oh.
about Phoenix.
Yeah.
I had completely
Yeah.
forgotten about the Phoenix Suns. And then he played for the Kings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember the ones where I think he spent significant amount of time. I can't believe I almost forgot the Nets because that was immediately after Toronto, but yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't even I think for a while we hated him in Toronto, and not because, you know, he wasn't the greatest player, but I think everyone was just hurt and didn't understand the situation. But I know someone who was part of the Grizzlies franchise at the time who gave me some insider info and, you know,
You got, wait, hold on. You've got sources.
it was a source at the time. But yes, someone close to Vince Carter who mentioned that Vince loved Toronto and it wasn't actually his choice to leave, and he was distraught when he did leave Toronto, and he still loves, he still, and this was about three, four, no, this is when he played for Memphis, so 6 years ago, 7 years ago, he still had a lot of affection for Toronto, and
Wow.
you know, he didn't actually want to leave. So but when he came back, I think maybe it was, I want to say around that time, like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, he got like a standing ovation and people were like chanting his name. And it was really lovely. He actually teared up because they did like a tribute
Wow.
video for him. And like he actually teared up. It was, yeah. So we love Vince Carter again. We love him. We were just hurt. It was just,
Did you do the whole jersey burning thing?
No. I still have, I st oh, actually, I don't have the jersey. I left it at an ex-boyfriend's place, so I do have to get a new one. But yes, so yeah, we love Vince in
So
Toronto.
that must have been one where you're just like, you know what? I love the jersey, but you can have it. I don't want to see you. Just keep the
No,
jersey.
quite the opposite. I was watching. I was going to a Raptors game in another city in the U.S. And the ex lived in the U.S. at the time, so I had worn. So I'd taken that jersey, and I think I
Yeah.
left it there. It's not. Yeah, it was one of those things I realized after the fact, and wasn't going
You're
to.
like, ah, oh,
If
the
it was signed, I would have tried to get it back, but it wasn't signed, so it's
Real
fine.
quick, you'd mentioned something a few minutes ago, and I didn't ask you. How many fantasy leagues are you in right now?
Oh, how many was I in?
Yeah.
Three. So three this year. I've done up to five, and I felt like it was just, I couldn't do it. It was very difficult to manage. However, if I think even three, this time around was a lot given how volatile the league's been with players not playing and sitting out and all that kind of stuff, and teams not actually you know, announcing it again minutes before tip off in some cases. So it was difficult. It was, I found it very difficult to manage. And I think if that doesn't change, I don't see myself playing fantasy
Oh,
until,
wow.
yeah, it was very frustrating.
I mean, first of all, kudos to you. Three teams. I mean, that. One team, I couldn't even manage one team. I would get stressed out over one team.
It was stressful. So two of the teams are my like legacy teams that I've been playing with for years and years and years. One of the and then I always join like another team, kind of like an unknown team where I don't know people.
Yeah.
I think it's like just different dynamics. And I'm a little bit, I'm not as conservative with my picks. So it's kind of like it's more of like an experimental team. I fit like I was like in second place, I think, most of the regular season for all three. And then because like players sitting out the last week, or just not playing because, it's an inconsequential game for them. I ended up coming in, I think, probably fourth or fifth.
Oh, wow.
So
You were kind of the Mavericks of fantasy basketball. Like
sorry.
you were like the Mavericks. You were there, you were in it,
I was in it.
and then all of a sudden you're out.
On paper, I probably had one of the best teams. Like in one of the leagues that I'm in, and my cousin actually runs that league. He did say that on paper you probably had the second best team in our league. And so yeah, again, so you could have like the best team on paper, but hey, if the players don't play, then that's going to impact your stats. So
I'm just imagining there being like a like an ESPN doc on your fantasy, like in kind of like where you're like where you took all that. It's like you took the load management personal and the tanking personally. Like, you're gonna be like Jordan sitting there with your iPad and you're just gonna be like, ha ha ha, really? I took that personal. I almost feel bad for the leagues that you're in next year because you're just gonna be like you have a reign of terror. Where you're just gonna blow everybody out, and you're gonna be like, "You so you are you gonna? I mean, doesn't that change your draft strategy a little bit?"
It does because I think I'm more likely to go for pick up players that are maybe not superstars, but like good, consistent players who are actually going to play. So maybe it's not the leading rebounder in the league or the leading scorer. It's usually the, yeah. So yeah, it does change my strategy quite a bit.
I've got some breaking news for you, Atika. I know you've been waiting for it. The Atlanta Hawks have advanced to the NBA playoffs. They defeated the Miami Heat 116 to
Wow.
105. Your favorite team, the Atlanta Hawks, will be facing off against your Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs. How do you feel about that?
I feel like, you know what? They bought themselves a little bit more time, but they're not going very far.
All right. Let me just ask you, as a Celtics fan, is there a part of you that's relieved that it's the Hawks and not the Heat?
Yes. I think that, yeah, I think the Hawks, like the only player that I really trust in that on that team right now is Sadiq Bey, and he's like a new addition. He's been really good for them. Trey, he doesn't really show up in the
No.
postseason. And so I think he's overrated, but we can talk about that another time. So yeah, I am.
Wow.
And
So
also
wait.
like with Butler doing a lot better after the All-Star break and as well, and kind of shooting the three ball better. I think overall they've gotten better post All-Star break. So I think that yeah, I'm happy that.
Well, I mean, it should be, at the worst, I think it's a 5-game series. I would be surprised if it's not a sweep, to be honest with you. I think the Celtics should make light work of the Atlanta Hawks. And this is probably a good segue. The Hawks were the 8 seed, the Heat were the 7 seed. With Atlanta winning tonight, they advance into the playoffs, but the Miami Heat are not done.
They're not done.
I mean, so I feel like this bracket, I almost feel like I should call this the Atika bracket, because tomorrow you've got the Raptors and Bulls.
Raptors and Bulls. And what's funny about the play-in tournament is that now that the Heat are going to be playing the winner of 9-10, Lowry's either going to be facing his best friend or his former team. So it just makes for an interesting storyline.
That is a that is kind of an interesting storyline. I mean, is there a part of you that feels for DeMar?
Yeah, and especially because, if we're looking at the Chicago-Toronto series, Chicago hasn't done well versus Toronto this season, and the Toronto defense has really been a huge issue for DeRozan. DeRozan's an elite shooter, but can't seem to do well versus the Raptors, and OG and some of the other guys have been a really big part of that. So I do feel bad for him. I think that he when he was traded, that's when the Raptors won the finals, and some argue that without Kawhi that wouldn't have happened. And we all know the struggles DeRozan and Lowry had together. I think together they were even though they were like close and great friends, I think they weren't good for each other on the court. And so I think that trade probably had to happen. It was sad, and I still love DeRozan, but it had to happen. But I do feel bad for him. I feel like Toronto's been kind of like that thorn by his side. Whether it's trading him away just before winning the championship, or even during the regular season, and now he has to face this team that has essentially shut him down, offensively, in the play-in in a one and done situation. So I feel for him. And I think what year was it when Toronto didn't, or they were out of the playoffs quite early? Was it 2 years ago or
Yeah, I
last
think
year?
2 years ago.
Yeah, and then I was kind of rooting for Chicago. Like, I was rooting for them. I'm like, DeRozan needs to get his, I really want that for him. But yeah, it'll be interesting tomorrow.
It'll be interesting tomorrow. I need Toronto to win that game. I am so disinterested in the Bulls. They're blah. They're ranch dressing. They do nothing for me.
Zach Levine has gone off though.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see him on a team that has a chance. Like for him to be like a third option, I would love to see him with the Lakers or the Clippers or the Celtics. Like on a team that has legit aspirations. I'd love maybe the Sixers. Because it's Tobias Harris. I mean, Tobias Harris to me is stealing money. I mean, I feel like he balled out that year in LA. He got to Philadelphia and he's just been stealing money.
But
And
that year he was in LA, the Clippers didn't make it to the
no, I
playoffs.
don't think they made it.
They didn't
No.
make it to the playoffs, yeah.
But they're like, oh, there's something, we see something in Tobias. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the best thing he's done since he's been in Philadelphia are all the Boban commercials
Those
with
are
those two.
great. Those are great.
Those are, I
Those
mean,
are wildly entertaining.
I mean, I don't know why I love them so much, those two together.
Yeah.
But I love it. But yeah, I need Toronto to make waste of Chicago, make waste of Miami. And Miami annoys me. The Bulls bore me. And,
The
you
Bulls
know,
bore you like Atlanta bores me.
oh my gosh. I mean, can you imagine if they had to play those two were playing? I mean, they would have had to put that game on True TV. They wouldn't have even put it on NBA TV. They just would have been like, hey, True TV.
Yeah.
We're going to put it on there and good luck finding it. Yeah. But I would be surprised, Atika, if now that we know who the Celtics are playing, that you don't just five games max. If it goes six games, that's a sign of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people, like, you know, as a fan, and I'm sure you're like this too, I would still watch a series that, you know, the odds are quite heavily favored on one side. I think, I don't know. I love the Celtics and I'll maybe watch the first couple of games, but if like the first couple are like blowouts, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'll continue. I think I might just continue in the second round. I'm wondering if you wanted to do maybe a little rewind and actually talk about what the matchups are, or sorry, what the play-in matchups are in the conferences.
Yes. So in the Eastern Conference,
yep,
we just had the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. They were the 7 and 8 seeds. And so how it works is those two teams played. The winner advances to become the 7th seed. The loser, as we just mentioned, the loser is not out of it yet. Excuse me. So the loser of tonight's game, Miami Heat, will play the winner of the 9-10 seed game, which happens tomorrow. Excuse me, allergies. We got the Toronto Raptors and as the 9 seed, and the Chicago Bulls as a 10 seed. So that is the Eastern Conference. So the winner of that game advances to play Miami. Loser goes home. In the Western Conference, we have a very interesting matchup tonight. We've got the Los Angeles Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves, the 7 and 8 seeds. The Lakers are the 7 seed. Minnesota is the 8 seed. Of course, it would wait until the podcast for my allergies. And then we have tomorrow, we have the Pelicans and the Thunder. So the Timberwolves, though, are an interesting story. They had a nice little way of ending their season. I've never quite seen anything quite like it. Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson, these are teammates.
Yeah.
And I don't even know exactly what spurred the conversation or the disagreement. But the word that I've heard is that Kyle Anderson referred to Rudy as a female dog.
Yes.
And I don't know. I agree with one of the writers I listen to is Bomani Jones. He's got his own podcast, works for ESPN. And I agree with him. Like when you're called that, there's a pretty easy way to find out if your assertion is correct. Because either that, and it's all in the person's response. And I don't know, Atika, I don't really know, as much as I am annoyed by Rudy Gobert, and I am annoyed by Rudy Gobert. Like, I was annoyed by how lightly he took COVID and mocking it, and then literally spreading COVID.
He shut down the NBA.
Yes. Yeah. We got the bubble because of Rudy Gobert.
Yes.
People mad about the bubble season? Yeah, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
I am annoyed. Not his fault, but I'm annoyed that the team owned by Alex Rodriguez would trade 4 number one picks. Four,
yeah.
For Rudy Gobert.
It's wild.
Yeah, and I'm annoyed that during the regular season, he is everything you think he is from an all-defensive player.
Yeah.
And in the postseason, he's the 7-foot version of Trae Young. He doesn't show up.
He doesn't show. That's the thing. Like, you know, they are missing without Gobert and McDaniels. They are, you know, they're missing a significant number of rebounds per game. Yeah. However, I don't think, you know, given his history, the team could count on that in the postseason. So, you know, thankfully they have Edwards.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
I mean, well, so I love Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man. I don't know who I dislike more. I don't know if I dislike Rudy Gobert more or Karl Anthony Towns more.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns, I was kind of, I was agnostic to Karl Anthony Towns. Good player, but he's one of these young guys. I agree with Charles, by the way, that a lot of these young guys don't like to get criticized. But last year, during his was last year the 75th, the 75
Yeah.
all
Yes.
time? Now, not that he understood the timing of what he was going to say, but at the beginning of the year, he had the audacity, Karl Anthony Towns had the audacity to say that he is the best shooting big man of all time. Right? I'm like, and he meant it.
He's as delusional as Cousins is.
Oh my God, Boogie. Oh, Jesus.
Boogie.
I'm like, why is Boogie talking?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, all right, you can, we can, it's a whole discussion whether or not Jokic, and I think we're all clear that Jokic, I hate to say that he played himself out of a third MVP, little nagging injuries here and there. But Boogie to be like, oh, he doesn't deserve it because he didn't do any, he hasn't won anything. I'm like, Boogie, really? You saying that?
Yeah. Ironic.
Yeah, Boogie, it's like, dude, I mean, but I think it's these Kentucky guys. Him, Karl Anthony Towns, they all think they're better than they actually are. Anthony Davis. I mean, but Anthony Davis has been balling out. Anthony, I got it. Anthony Davis, if you're watching, you're probably not. If you're watching, you've been balling out. When you play, he's kind of like Kawhi. When he plays, he's great.
Yeah.
You just don't know when he's going to play. So, but yeah, the Timberwolves are going to be without Rudy Gobert tonight. They're going to be without the guy who broke his hand by hitting a wall.
Yeah, the wall guy.
And I'm like, this is from the same, so it's the organization that in a calendar year celebrated by winning a play-in game, like as if they'd won the NBA Finals, and then followed up that summer by trading four number one picks for Rudy Gobert. This is the same organization that now is without the guy they traded four number one picks for because he retaliated to being called a female dog, which I think you kind of have to respond that way. You can't just let someone call you that, even though KD let Draymond call him that, which I've never understood how you could be boys after that.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably different dynamics. Maybe that was more, two people that are actually friends kind of having it out versus these two, whereas maybe they don't have such a great relationship, so it'll be more difficult for them to bounce back from this. But I do think he was antagonized a bit, so I think that I don't know. I feel like, yeah. I mean, I see why he did it. I don't completely blame him, but he's always on the wrong side of every situation. That's the thing with Gobert, like
Every
the pattern
single,
now.
yeah. Did you notice? So I guess when I didn't notice it until Draymond had posted something on Instagram or on Twitter, where after Draymond had his incident with Jordan Poole, I guess Rudy Gobert tweeted something out like about being sensitive.
Oh yeah. And then he posted the exact same thing.
I'm like,
I'm like, way to troll him.
I mean, it's almost as if Draymond had been sitting on this. It's almost like he knew, like, the moment, there's going to be a moment.
Yeah.
But it also, but, you know, I feel like the NBA is kind of like a, I don't know, it's almost like a, I'm sure it's almost like a gossip circle. I mean, all the players talk to each other. And I'm sure that Kyle Anderson didn't just decide during the game to, like, you know what, I've been really okay with Rudy all this time. I'm going to wait till the last game of the year, and I'm going to call him the B word. Like, I'm like, wait, you guys do know you're trying to get into the playoffs, right? Like, you know, it's not one of those things where it's your last day on the job and you start, you know, cursing everybody out because it's your last day on the job. I'm like, no, you got more work to do. But I feel like Draymond was sitting on that. But also but I've been hearing a lot about Jordan Poole from, you know, like Golden State and how annoying he is and how hard-headed he is. And so it actually changes my perspective on what happened between he and Draymond. It almost sounds like he had it coming and he just wouldn't stop. And Draymond's like, you know what? I've had enough. Like, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to make you stop. And I don't know. So I felt sorry for Jordan Poole, but all the things I've been hearing about Jordan Poole, like, and how annoying he is and just how he doesn't really follow the game plan very much.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, maybe he had it coming.
Yeah, but in the same token, you know, in another workplace, you wouldn't be able to resort to physical violence but I also get that this is a different industry. It's sports. You have men with, you know, the testosterone levels are high. you know, it's you have a platform that allows you to let out your aggression a lot more than if you're like behind a desk and, on a computer. So, I still think that, you know, there's no justification for physical altercations, and there's few situations where I would be okay with that. But again, like you said, you know, there's stuff that's happening behind the scenes that, you know, maybe it's just been pent up annoyance or anger, and it just
So who do you like tonight, by the way? You've got the Lakers at the 7, Minnesota as the 8. Who do you like?
So I'm not a Lakers fan.
No. I'm
not a Lakers fan. No. not a LeBron fan. However, yeah. I would give this one to maybe the Lakers. I think with Gobert out and McDaniel's injury, their defense is going to suffer quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you know, you have I just think in terms of a matchup perspective, I think the Lakers will excel and will take this one. And especially with Anthony Davis out there, I think it's I think the Lakers are probably gonna take it. And then you have you know, LeBron's new BFF, Austin Reeves, who's also you know, made a significant contribution to the Lakers as well to get them to where they are. So I think that, I have to give it to the Lakers. I'm hoping the Timberwolves come out the winners, but I think it'll be hard.
You know, Atika, if the game would be, tell me you're a Celtics fan / Paul Pierce fan without saying you're a Celtics and a Paul Pierce fan.
Yeah.
It would sound an awful lot like, I'm not really a LeBron fan.
I'm not, but you know what? With LeBron, with D'Lo, with Anthony Davis out there, I think they're gonna come out hard. And again, it did not help. Like, Gobert maybe wasn't worth the four picks that he was traded for, but I think he is a difference maker, a significant difference maker defensively, and I think that that was a that's tough for
Yeah.
Lowell. So
Yeah. So the winner of this game will get the Grizz, which have been an interesting story. And if it's the Lakers and the Grizzlies, we know there's a little bit of beef there between LeBron and Dylan Brooks, who everyone seems to have beef with, I guess, apparently.
yeah, he's the one Canadian we're not so proud of right now.
You don't have, you mean to tell me you don't have his Oregon jersey or
No. I'm gonna wait till he stops talking. And then maybe I'll get like, I don't know. Is he on the Canadian? Is he on the national team? I think he is. Yeah.
But Atika, if you're gonna wait for Dylan Brooks to stop talking, you will never be able to get a Dylan Brooks jersey. He's never gonna stop talking.
That's true. Yeah, so
So the winner gets Memphis. The loser gets the winner of the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know why, Antika, that this matchup of all the matchups I am most intrigued by. I'm intrigued by Oklahoma City even being in the play-in game. They lost, was it Chet Holmgren, like before the season even started? And the conventional wisdom was that they were going to tank to get that number one pick, to try to get the number one pick for the Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, the Paris guy. Yeah.
And they have done the opposite of what the Trailblazers have done and the Mavericks have done. Somebody didn't tell these kids that they were supposed to tank because, SGA obviously is balling, and that and they're playing against a team that going into the season people thought could have been a contender for the Western Conference Finals in the New Orleans Pelicans.
So I don't see SGA tanking, to be quite honest. I think that, you have the top three MVPs on lock. I'm not saying, he would get the MVP, but there were some talks about him potentially being in the MVP conversation, maybe further down that list, maybe like, but somewhere in the top 10. So I think that, for his own personal resume, in this league, it wouldn't fare well for him to tank. But yeah, I'm surprised that they made it. I think this will definitely be an interesting matchup. Yeah, and especially because the Pelicans missed, their key players towards the end of the season. So we'll see.
Is Zion going to play? Do you know if he's going to play?
Think so. Is he? Should check. You know what? Zion's one of those players that I was so excited for, and it's kind of like I feel like he's just, yeah, like I don't even think about him anymore.
Ooh,
But
wow. That's an indictment. That's an indictment
I think
on him.
he's so amazing to watch. Like when you watch him play, it's like, whoa, like I think he's such a great player and such a great talent, but it's like he's been in the league for what, 3 years now?
3 or 4, yeah.
3 or 4, and he's been injured more than he's played. So I don't know if this is going to be a Derrick Rose type of situation, like a potential one of the greats to kind of like just. Yeah, the
Yeah,
injury was.
I mean, he could be a Derrick Rose or he could be a Joel Embiid, because Embiid, his first couple years were very injury riddled. And now he's the presumptive MVP, even though I agree with Giannis. Like, to me, Giannis is the real MVP, to quote Kevin Durant. I feel like he is the real MVP.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, Zion is, I'm with you. Like you don't think about Zion, and I do. I get annoyed by Zion, annoyed because I'm like, and I'm going to say something that's controversial. I don't see a whole lot of difference, to be honest, between he and Ben Simmons, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow.
In the sense that neither one of them wants to play basketball.
I agree. And I think that, and I completely forgot this, but yes, he's not playing in the first round. And I remember talking to someone else about this earlier this week, but he even made a comment about, essentially, he's going to return when he feels like returning. And I was like, what? Like, your team, like, has somehow made it into, I don't know, do we consider play-in postseason? I guess it is, because it's not regular season. But, you know, your team has a chance. You have a chance. But you're just kind of like, yeah, when I feel like it. So there's obviously a lot going on there that goes beyond just his physical limitations. And injury. So I think he probably needs to work that out. I think the same with Ben Simmons. I think, you know, he frustrated me. He was annoying. I thought he was a brat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I think there's something else going on. You know, there are some mental blockages or something that's going on. He's not completely well. And so I gave him a little bit more grace. Mm-hmm. When I thought about it that way, and I think the same thing is happening with Zion. I think the same thing happened with Derrick Rose. And so it's just, you know, those are just a few of the players that come to mind that, but at least with Zion and Rose, it was the injuries.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they would go on, they'd play like 10 games and it would be great. And then all of a sudden, like something would aggravate the injury. There'd be a whole new injury. So,
But
I was a little bit concerned when he's like, oh, I'm going to come back when I feel great about coming back. So I thought that there's something else going on there. To be quite honest, I was more concerned about Ingram. I'm like, you know, I've been following kind of like what his situation is and his trajectory. And, you know, when he missed those games, it was more alarming to me than I was even concerned about Zion coming.
Oh, 100%, because there's no doubt about Ingram's commitment to the game. I feel like he's still one of the most undervalued players. I think he's not necessarily underrated. He's a great talent, but for the value, I mean, like what his next contract is just going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think his game is sick, but I think to your point, he's just more valuable to that team because they rely on him. They don't rely on Zion at all. Zion is kind of like, you know, like I think for years and years, everyone would think that DMX, like this is the year he's going to show up at the VMAs and then he wouldn't show up, you know? And then you would catch videos of him like doing, you know, the 12 days of Christmas and you're like, wait a minute, but why aren't you? I feel like that's Zion. Like you hope he's going to show up. It would be awesome if he showed up.
Yep. He's wildly entertaining to watch.
He is. He's absolutely box office. And you're pretty sure that he is not going to show up. Right.
You got to count him out at this point.
You got to count him out. And so if I honestly, I don't think, I think it's part, and you know, part of this is Kawhi, like these young guys have all seen Kawhi and the load management. They've all seen kind of Kyrie decide that he's going to take days off to do whatever he wants to do. And so these young guys think, oh, yeah, I'll just, you know, I'll come when I want. I'll show up when I want. If I'm the coach, I'm like, no, either you're playing tomorrow night or you're done.
Yeah.
You're like, there's no, or like, if we make it to the first round, you're not playing in the first round. Like, you need to, you're either playing tonight, or if we advance to the semifinals, you'll play. There is no in between. And part of it too, Atika, is that, and I never thought I would be the one rooting for the boss, but I feel like that, I feel like they need to put their foot down with these players, and like, if you're healthy, you play. If you're not healthy, you don't play. It's that simple. Like, you don't, if you, like, your playoff life is on the line. You're like, oh, you know, I'll play if I feel like it. I'm like, you mean making it to the playoffs isn't enough to make you feel like it? I'm like,
And I wonder if they're playing the long game with him, if they think that, they're not going to go far in the postseason, so why, aggravate his injury, or why push him to come back out on the court if he's not ready. So it almost seems like they're managing him in a way. And I mean, it's unfortunate because I think that you just never know what's going to happen in the postseason, right? The postseason is a completely different beast. And that's why you have the stats on like players, not just players, but teams in general who've done, well in the regular season and then completely blew the postseason and vice versa. So I think that, giving up so easily, like your job is to play basketball. Like you're given this incredible talent. You've been given this incredible opportunity to be one of only a handful when you compare it to, the number of people that probably do want to get into the league, of people that get to be in this league, and you're choosing not to play.
You're choosing not to play, and this is where you earn all of the goodwill that's been given to you as being a, you know, a top, you know. I mean, I think people still look at him as being a top 20, top 25 player, and I think he's definitely one of the top talents. But this is where you prove it. This is where you come out and say, look, man, we may not win, but you know what? I'm coming out swinging it, and our goals have not changed. We still want to win a championship, and if it means we have to fight our way in through the play-in to get there, then you do it. And even if you don't do it, at least people will respect you for playing. And I'm like, I don't understand this if I feel like it business. I don't know. And that now I know I'm sounding like the get off my lawn guy. But I'm like, come on, man. Like, Kawhi, he's kind of earned that. He's earned the right, as annoying as it is, for him to decide, oh, I'm not playing the second half, which is something he did last week. He's like, oh, I'm not playing the second half. I mean, but he's Kawhi Leonard. He's one of the 75 greatest of all time.
And also
LeBron.
his mentality was probably like, I need to make sure that I'm in the best form for playoffs, right? So it wasn't about him giving up. It was more like, okay, like we've locked in our, our place in the playoffs. So
We're locked in. We can't
we're
move
locked
up. We
in.
can't move down.
Exactly. So now let's focus on the postseason. So that I wasn't too bothered by.
Speaking of injuries, Paul George, is he going to be available? What's his status, you know?
I thought he was going to be back for maybe he's not back for the
First round.
first round. I think he's not back for the first round. So yeah, he's expected to miss the start of playoffs. So that's unfortunate for the Clippers. But yeah, hopefully, they make it past the first round and he's able to come back.
I mean, we got Clippers and the Suns in the first round.
Oh wow.
I mean,
I mean,
I would have thought that would have been the Western Conference Finals, you know, potentially going into the season.
yeah. I think
And
people thought that was going to be the conference finals a while, couple years ago too, right? When, yeah.
So I'll be interested to see if Kawhi, what he can do by himself. I shouldn't say by himself. He's got Russ. What do you think? Russell Westbrook, whole new guy. I mean,
I'm a fan. So interesting story. We could talk about this on another pod, but I actually met him. And actually had
really?
a conversation with him.
Oh, wow.
This was when he signed his contract with OKC before he left, when he got the 3 year, I guess, max contract. And I actually, so I met him in Vegas, and he was having a party, and like me and my sister went. We actually got to talk to him, and he's lovely. Just a lovely person, and was so much fun to talk to. So we got to talk to him about basketball and his career and his days in UCLA. And so needless to say, I'm a fan.
I mean, he's been, I would, I mean, I can't say it a whole new Russ, but he is the hall, he's his Hall of Fame self with the Clippers. So to me, there's something to be said about that Lakers culture in that not, I mean, you're not a LeBron fan. I love LeBron James's career. I love following LeBron. I don't necessarily root for him. I don't root against him, but I love the spectacle of what it means for LeBron James to be in the game because he's such a lightning rod. But people do say that he is one of the most difficult players to play with.
I mean, I can see some entitlement there, especially if you are, considered and have been for the longest time, arguably the best player in the league. I wouldn't say that now, but maybe up until a couple of years ago, he's probably the best player in the league, or maybe even more. But he's LeBron James, right? He's like the face of the NBA, and I think that's probably gotten to his head. But I appreciate what he's done for this generation of basketball fans. I mean, I think, we were lucky because we grew up with MJ, and I think arguably the greatest player of all time. And I know that debate's been kind of happening. We grew up watching Kobe. I mean, this generation likes to think that they grew up watching Kobe, but th they didn't. They're probably the tail end
I
of
know,
my
like, what is
experience.
it with this? Yeah, they think I'm like, wait, you were there in the like late 90s, mid to late 90s? Like, how were you there?
So when they talk about, like, you really only seen the third guy in that conversation of GOAT, of being the GOAT, and that's LeBron James. And by this generation, I mean, I guess the Gen Zs, are they, or the younger millennials? Because I know I'm a geriatric millennial, so but yeah, or yeah, but yeah, the Gen Zs. So yeah, when they and yes, I still think that you can follow someone's basketball career, know a lot about them, and but it's not the same if you weren't actually watching the games. There's only so much you can get from like reading stats and watching highlights and highlight reels. But yeah, anyways, going off topic.
But no, but like, yeah, I mean, so Kobe's last championship was 2010. So, and there were several years where they didn't make the playoffs after that. So, I don't know. I mean, his last year was what, 2016? So that was kind of the so his tail end of his career was the emergence of Golden State. And it was always Golden State or fill in the blank against LeBron. So I love that they love Kobe. It's interesting, this generation, totally off topic and off sport, loves Kobe. Same generation will look at Tiger Woods and go, he sucks. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you do realize, I mean, the guy that we that had to, vacate the Masters this past week, he was the greatest. I mean, besides Michael Jordan, well, with Michael Jordan, those two, and then you throw it like, well, that's a whole other conversation. But we had a run where we had Michael Jordan, we had Kobe and Shaq, so like all these NBA guys. Then we had the Williams sisters, and we had Tiger. Like that, that was like to me like this era of super sports celebrity, and we had just come out of so I'm older, but like, but before Michael, we had Magic and Larry,
yep,
and Kareem. Mm-hmm. Like we and so, but then Michael Jordan took it to a whole different level. And Kobe was there during the Jordan era, was there during the LeBron era.
Yeah.
But was never, I don't know. Kobe's one of the greatest of all time. He just kind of got, he never got all the credit I think he deserved just because of his contemporaries. And when you play with Shaq, you know, I mean, I don't know. So I feel bad for the, I mean, I would love to know from the Gen Zers, who are the players now, or even the kids who are younger than Gen Z? Well, I don't know what you call the next group. Are they the A? Like, I don't know what they are.
I have no idea.
Kids are like teenagers. Who are those players for them now?
I would probably say Giannis is probably up there. Curry, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because there isn't one player that stands out to me above, and you know, even if whoever gets the MVP, even if it's Embiid who gets the MVP, yeah. Is Embiid a household name? He's going to be an MVP that's actually not, like, I feel like a casual basketball fan might not even know who he is.
I agree with you. And I think that's part of the problem that Jokic has, is that unless you're really watching the game, you look at him and go, that's the 2-time MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Embiid, I gotta be, I'm a Kansas guy. I love Joel. I trusted the process. Even when they drafted Markel Fultz, even when they drafted Ben Simmons, I still trusted the process, and I love Joel Embiid. I'm sorry. You've got to get past Giannis. You've got to get past the Celtics. You've got to make it to the NBA Finals before I can start crowning you. And I know it's a regular season award, but I need to see it in the playoffs, and I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's no excuses. I feel like they've got the roster this year to make it. I mean, they've got to make it to the conference semifinal. Well, they're not going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals because they would have to beat the Celtics to do that. And I don't see it. I don't see them beating the Celtics.
But do you think that'll impact the, you know, the greatest players of all time conversation when it comes to these players? Because don't forget when, you know, in the era of Michael Jordan, you had a number of players who never won the finals, right? Like you have the Barclays, the Kids, the Malones, the Reggie Millers, you know, Patrick Ewing, like all these greats that like I can look back and say they were the greatest to never win a championship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think in this era of basketball, where with the super teams and players really dictating a lot more than players of the past, or so it seems, it's more visible if anything. Or actually, no, the players from, you know, the past have said we never had this kind of control that the players have now. Yeah. So given that there's a lot more opportunities to win championships, and that's kind of like, you know, there's not a lot of loyalty to teams and to cities that they play for. Do you think not winning a championship now is like a strike against you? So Embiid may get, you know, the MVP this season, but if he doesn't ever win a championship, he's kind of out of the greatest, you know, I don't see him as being regarded as one of the greatest to play just because of the era of basketball we're in right now.
it's hard to me. It's going to be hard for a lot of these players to get into that conversation. I think you're right. I think in large part because I hate to say that winning a championship doesn't matter to the players. It does, but it's not the most important thing. I mean, guys, not that the guys back in the day didn't want to make money. They did, but I think those players viewed like, I need to win a championship so I can make the money, right?
Yeah.
And they built a league that made it easy for now the guys to get paid without having done anything. So to me, yeah, I think you're right. But I think the litmus test that I have for Joel Embiid and then I have for Jokic, who's my favorite player, is you've got to get past either Steph and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get past Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on, especially if you are, I mean, in some cases, you may have to get past both. Like, if you're in the West and you get past Steph and Clay and Dre, but you lose to Giannis, I can't put you in that conversation, which is why Anthony Davis will never sniff the greatest of all time. I put Anthony Davis in the same category I put Scottie Pippen in. Great individual player. Not a guy that you can put on your back.
Well, he's always going to be the second option.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
And he's content. I think he's content being the number two.
Yeah.
And the great. Now, I almost said that there are no greatest of all times that are number two, but then I'm like, there's Kevin McHale, who may be the greatest number two option of all time. Would have been a one on just about every other team in the league except for the Lakers, or at the time the Sixers, but. Anthony Davis wants to be a number two guy. He doesn't want to lead. And when LeBron, it seems like if LeBron ever gets hurt, then you can set your watch to when, you know, Anthony Davis is going to get hurt. So, I don't think Joel will ever be. He's got to win multiple championships to me. And I just don't see him doing that. And I don't know if it's Joel. It might be Doc. I don't know. Doc is kind of. I know that Kendrick. I mean, I still look at 2010. If Big Perk didn't get hurt, Celtics would have won that series.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. They would have beaten.
Yes.
But I still feel like my whole thing with Doc was Ron Artest is killing you. At a certain point, you can't just be like, oh, we'll give Artest that shot. At a certain point, where is the adjustment? Which is why I love Nick Nurse. Like Nick Nurse in the Golden State Warriors series, he's like pulling out all the stops to defend them. And Doc didn't make those adjustments. And I'm wondering, is Doc the reason why the Sixers won't be able to get over the hump this year and why they probably won't be able to get over the hump at all. I mean, underachieved in Orlando, underachieved. Yeah. I still think he underachieved with the Celtics, even though they got a ring. Underachieved in LA. Underachieving in Philly. And I like Doc. I like him a lot. I don't know. I don't know. My hope is that one day they will see this and he will be like, hey, remember that thing you said about me? I would love to be proven wrong about Doc. I'd love to be proven wrong about Joel. But I think, and this is the same for you all too, your Celtics have to get past Giannis.
Yeah.
And that to me is the mark of an all-time great player. Because, all right, I was thinking about this the other day, and I know we're out of time. It's like late. It's you're up late. You're, it's almost 11.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are four categories of players. There's ballers. Everybody in the NBA is a baller. Mm-hmm. You made it to the NBA, you're a baller. There are hoopers. Those are guys that, you know, are your the ones that you count on, the guys that you know that night in, night out, they're going to give you their best, right? And you can rely on them. And then I think there are dogs.
Hmm.
Dogs are the guys that, like, when you absolutely got to have it, they can go get it. And it doesn't mean, and I don't mean just scoring baskets. I mean, it's playing defense. It's doing all the things, making the right pass, setting the right screen, making winning plays. Like in when the lights are brightest, those are dogs. And then I feel like Giannis is in that fourth group, the very elite group, and those are the killers.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bird, Magic, Michael, Hakeem the Dream.
Yeah.
Like when it's money time, everyone knows what's going to happen and no one can do anything about it. Like,
yeah.
And I want to see Joel. That is the level that I need to see Joel unlock. Can he become a killer? Can he just go out and say, I'm taking this? Like Kawhi is one of those people. I feel like, well, I mean, you were there. I mean, it was a team effort. Like all the others that Shaq says, they were awesome. Siakam was like a revelation in that series.
Our second unit was.
Yeah.
I mean, our second unit is awful. Probably. Yeah. I think it's the worst right now, or the worst in the NBA. But I mean, we had the bench mob back then.
Yeah.
So.
And I think Kawhi is one of those guys. I don't know if he's still that guy. I mean, we're going to find out in this first series against Phoenix. But Joel right now is somewhere between a hooper and a dog. And
so I have with the fourth category, the killer.
Yeah.
I would add one more criteria to that.
Yes.
I would say, so not a fifth criteria, but for the killer category, I would say that's the type of player. Not to say they love basketball more than their children, but when push comes to shove,
yes,
nothing comes before the game.
That's right.
And I don't know if Kawhi is that player. I think the decision to leave Toronto, you know, I've talked about this with a lot of people. You know, I think, you know, obviously there was conversations with Paul George and all the other stuff, and he wanted to be in LA, and, you know, I think his family wanted him to be in LA, but the best move he could have made for his career is staying in Toronto and potentially having a repeat with Toronto.
Ooh,
I think that's why he's not a killer, because there was too many other factors that were more important than the game, than playing basketball.
I love that. I love that. I think, yeah. And when you put it that way, you're like, ooh. So to me, there aren't a lot of those left in the league.
Nope.
I mean, so who playing right now would you put in that category?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's hard to say because the league has changed so much. Like, I can name the players, you know, again, like the ones that are not in the league now that were killers. I think MJ was a killer.
Yeah.
I think nothing was more important than you know, his team and winning. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Giannis is one of those players for sure. I think it is really important for him to, you know, I mean, he loves his family. He's obviously a family guy, and that's one of the things we love about him, because he's such a goofy dad, family person. But I think he's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But I think he's kind of there. Yeah, I don't feel the same level of passion from this group of players.
What about your boy? What about Dame? What is he?
Yeah, I would say he's killer material.
Yeah.
He's killer material because it doesn't matter. He just lays it all out on the line. Like, I don't think he ever half-asses. You know, when he's on the court, he's all in and he's in the zone. But yeah, I think he's not like, I don't know if there's a single player that's fully, I think LeBron is a killer.
I mean,
and I don't want to admit that.
I was going to say that pained you. I was wondering, I was like, is she going to name LeBron? Is she going to put him?
Yes.
You know what I think, though, Atika? It hurts me to say this. I think LeBron is a retired killer.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, the moment he left for L.A. for his business interests, it told me he's like, now, he's kind of like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. Like, he's not into that world anymore, but I think if push came to shove, but I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, a killer doesn't end up in the play-in to me. You know? Like.
And a killer doesn't sit out as much as he has.
No, he doesn't sit out as much as he has. And he gets he has historically gotten the most out of players. Like you said, you named Austin Reeves. He's gotten the most out of Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, he took the Cavs of the finals where Matthew Dellavedova was like his number two guy. I mean, that was a killer mentality. I just don't know if he has that anymore.
Yeah, like when I think about LeBron when he was with the Cavs and, you know, Kevin Love was injured and Kyrie was injured and, you know, he didn't win that series against the Warriors, but man, he was a single, it was like a one-man show.
Yeah.
It was like literally LeBron versus like the Warriors starting five. That's what it felt like. And that to me was like, he was a killer then. Like, as much as I'm not a LeBron fan, to me, like, that was the moment where I was like, okay, like, I respect this guy.
I gotta tell you, Atika, I think we all saw the moment that he lost that killer mentality. And that was that game one on the J.R. Smith. I mean, because LeBron had played what I thought, and he's had some very memorable playoff games. I thought that was far and away the best playoff game I'd ever seen him play.
Mm-hmm.
Flawless performance against a team that, quite honestly, they had no bit. I mean, it was a super team. And when they went into overtime, I feel like we saw it. It was done.
Yeah.
Like, he had this exacerbated look, and I'm like, that's not the look of an assassin. That's the look of somebody who's defeated. And even though they, you know, obviously he's gone on, you know, I mean, they won the bubble championship. Wait, that was the year. Was that after the bubble? No, he was still in Cleveland. No, that was Cleveland.
That was before the bubble. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so even though he got the bubble championship, which I put an asterisk next to.
Yeah.
I think we saw the end of the dominant LeBron James. And now he was just now a regular dominant player. He wasn't atop the mountain by himself. And he's not atop of the mountain now.
He's just a facilitator right now. If anything, you know,
I mean, he's holding on for Bronny. we'll see if it happens. I have kept you way too long.
No, this is great. though.
I feel like we've actually got a couple different episodes here. But yeah, I love the conversation about what makes someone a killer, and that we don't have a lot of those, and that Dame is killer material, but you have to have an environment that fosters that, and he does not have that. He does not have the support.
That's a great point. I
I
think
mean,
that's what I was trying to think of, I'm like I feel like he is, but there's something missing. And I think it's the environment.
yeah. I mean, he's given every, I think we started a conversation like he said he doesn't want to rebuild, and he's never going to say that he doesn't want to be in Portland. That's not the kind of guy he is. But what I heard was either you build a team right now to win, or he's going to have to ask to be traded. And I think they're forcing his hand. And I don't think anyone's going to hold it against them. I don't think Portland,
No.
we go, well, you always said you were going to be loyal to Portland. I don't think anyone's going to hold it against them, but he deserves an opportunity.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm ready for them to free Dame. And I feel bad for Chauncey because he's going to lose his job, but in the next podcast, we can pontificate on where we would love to see Dame go, but in our next podcast, the field of 16, 8 teams in the West, 8 teams in the East, it's going to be set,
Yeah.
and then the real fun's going to begin.
The dog
Yeah, there's going to be lots of, I mean, so many, there's so many plot lines
Yeah.
in this playoffs. And I feel like I mean, almost every matchup has something. And then every round as teams advance. I mean, I'm not trying to look too far into the future, but man, the Celtics, Sixers in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Oh, come on. I mean, what can be better than that? I'm saying that knowing that there's no guarantee that
Guarantee.
there's no guarantee that, Philly's going to get past Brooklyn. The new Brooklyn Nets, I mean,
Yeah.
and if that happens, I mean, but even that's a storyline. So like if they don't get past Brooklyn, Philly is going to blow up. Philly is going to they are going to reject the process altogether, and they're going to have to blow that team up.
Yeah, like the Nets are that lovable team with so much young talent
Yes.
that you're rooting for them. But if a team like the Sixers with the probably the most the likely MVP, if they don't win against them, then we're having a different conversation for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Sixers are in the worst, I believe, of all the teams in the playoffs. The Sixers are in the absolute worst position because everyone has said, like, Joel, you got to get to the finals, at least the Eastern Conference finals. But you're saying, hey, Joel, you have to beat this upstart Brooklyn team. Then you're going to have to beat Boston. Then you're going to have to beat Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then, for thanks, you might have to beat the Suns. You might have to defeat the defending champion, Golden State Warriors. You might have to, I mean, I'm cheering for the Denver Nuggets. You may have to beat Jokic in that team. Like, I don't think the Sixers can win. They're in a no-win situation. And they may actually not actually win in their no win situation. They may be going home. So lots to discuss. This has been the play-in. Enjoy. The Lakers right now are down. Your Lakers are down to Minnesota. And once again, Anthony Davis flat on his back, but he got up. So whenever he falls down, I get nervous. But yeah, next week, we'll have the field set, and we will come back next week with another episode of the play-in.
Yeah.
Peace.
See ya.